appreciate the music this morning. Our scripture today is John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Pastor Miller.
Have you ever heard about that phrase, a bucket list? A list of things that people want to do? Well, I've done some of them. Like, for instance, this one. When I had the privilege of being in Korea and then over to Japan, I said, there's one thing in Japan I want to do. And I went to the top of Mount Fujiyama. Down at the bottom, there's places there to buy various things, and they sell these hiking poles down there. And I'm not one to use a pole or a stake or a crutch of some kind when I hike, but because of this as a souvenir, I bought it, and the flags that are with it. You can't see it quite as well where you're seated, but on this pole, there's some stamps there, sort of like a wood-burning kit, if you ever knew about those. And they put these in at different places because there are originally 10 different stations along the way from the top to the bottom of Mount Fuji. And so you get one of these stamped at each of those 10 stations. And then when you get to the top of Mount Fuji, I think that one's almost gone, they don't would do a wood burn on it. They use a dye stamp and stamp it in. It's a red dye stamp. And so I got all of these on there. They cost all of 10 yen a piece. Now, at that time, 10 yen was worth 3.5 cents. So it didn't cost very much, but it was fun. And that was one of my desires. Two others that are right along the same kind of thinking that I've had and had the privilege of dealing with were two other mountains. One was Mount Sinai. Now, it's interesting, Mount Sinai is not as tall as Mount Fuji. Mount Fuji is 12,395 feet. That's up there a ways. But Mount Sinai is only 7,497 feet. But Mount Sinai, of course, is much more significant because of God being there and the Ten Commandments. But from a geographical point of view, Mount Sinai is not a desirable place. Frankly, it is a huge big pile of rock. Nothing grows up there. Nothing. It's just rock. Another one that I enjoyed is over just out of Jerusalem, just a little ways out of Jerusalem, and that's the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives as a mountain is not a significant one because it's only 2,684 feet. So it's rather low for mountains. but the significance of the Garden of Gethsemane at the bottom of the mountain, and then the mountain itself, and all of the things that you can read in the Bible that happened on that mountain. Very significant mountain, and a very interesting place to visit. Well, Nick had some of those urges. He wasn't the mountain climber, a little bit maybe, but not significant. But he was one who liked to talk with people and liked to listen to people and what they had to say. He was more of an individual of research and study. He was very highly trained in religious thinking. Probably say he had a PhD degree. And really knew what he was talking about, what he was listening to, and he could discuss things, bring up points. He was significant to be, like, for instance, a member of the Supreme Court. He had that capacity and knew what he was talking about. One individual that he was intrigued with, he tried to get a chance to talk with him. However, this person wasn't accepted by a lot of people in Nick's day. And Nick didn't like the idea of going and talking to him where other people would see the fact that, no, Nick's gone over there. No, he didn't want that. And so he waited until he could get a chance when they would be off just by themselves. And Nick could talk to him. And he was willing to listen. He was wanting to talk. But how do you get this individual to get into the conversation that you want to have? Well, he created his own way of doing that. He got into asking questions. You know, if you want to get somebody going, you ask them a question that they're willing to talk about, and you can get some good things going. And and so he told how he appreciated this person and the things that he talked about and the things that he did. And he wanted to find out. But the one he was talking with didn't quite follow. Didn't follow the lead that Nick had given. Because he told him that he needed to make a change in his life, and if he really, really wanted to accomplish something, he needed to make a big change. Well, Nick didn't think there was any change he needed to make. I mean, he was born in the right kind of a family and in the right environment. He was involved with the right organizations. He had the right position in society. He had everything going for him. What changes did he have to make? He didn't quite see how do I make any kind of changes like that? Well, he was told that he needed to really do something about it because he wanted to be born again of water and of the Holy Spirit. And then he was told, it is not theoretical knowledge you need so much as spiritual regeneration. You know lots of theory. You have lots of facts in your head. But there's a change of a different kind. The change we're talking about is not all of the facts and figures and all of that sort of thing. No, the change is down inside. It's a different kind of a change. And so you can find his story in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, Nick knew what Jesus was talking about, because this illustration of born again was commonly used in his day. But he wasn't quite ready to follow that. And so he said, "Wait a minute. How can somebody truly be born again?" Or to put it in different words, how can somebody truly, totally start all over again? And Jesus told him, "You must be born of the water and the Spirit, because your physical birth is just physical. That's all. But you need this new birth of water and the Spirit." Jesus told him, Don't be shocked at this idea of being born again, being started again, because look at the wind out there. You can't see it. You can see the effect of it because you see the leaves whipping around and all the rest when the wind is blowing, but you can't see it. And so this change that needs to take place is something you can't see. It's something that you can't measure like you do with all this facts and figures and stuff that you deal with. It's completely different. And then Nicodemus made a statement that sometimes we overlook the significance. It's in verse 9, where Nicodemus told Jesus, "How can these things be? What are you talking about? How can this be? This just doesn't sound real." And Jesus did not take the cut as Nicodemus had given it. No. Jesus asked him, "You are a teacher in Israel. And yet, as a teacher in Israel, how come you don't understand these things?" Jesus was really telling him, "Look, you claim to have all of this stuff in order, all of your life in order, all of your thinking in order, but you don't quite understand this. How come?" And then he went on. Jesus went on to say that we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you don't receive our witness. We are telling you of these things, but you're not ready to receive it yet. If I've told you earthly things, you do not believe. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Nicodemus liked to challenge people's thinking. Here, Jesus challenged his thinking, challenged his ideas. And he had to think about it. And Jesus talked to him about the fact that you want to talk about heavenly things. Well, only he who came down from heaven deals with these things. And the Son of Man is to be lifted to heaven. Very interesting picture. And then he talks about that story that goes way back to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, the story of the serpent, verse 14, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now you think about that serpent in the wilderness. People had, if you go to the story there, you find that the people had been complaining about to Moses about this thing of out there in the wilderness, and you just brought us out here to let us die and everything, and we loathe this bread stuff. This is the only thing we have to eat. They were really complaining about things. And all God did was to remove his protection. He had been protecting them from the snakes that just normally inhabit that country. And he had been shielding them so that these snakes didn't bother them. And all he did was to withhold that protection. And it allowed the snakes to attack the people. And then, of course, they wanted Moses. They were complaining to him a little bit ago, but now they came to him, please help. And God told Moses to make that brass snake up on that pole. A couple of interesting aspects about that brass snake on the pole. If you see a person in military uniform who happens to be an individual involved with the medical aspect of things in the military, you will find that they have a symbol on their clothing of a cross with a brass snake on it. In the military, it's called a caduceus. And that is the symbol of someone being involved in the medical work in military. It doesn't matter what branch of the service. If you look carefully at the story in Numbers, actually going just a little bit before that story, you find that it was at the point where Aaron had been taken up to the top of the mountain and he had died there. And it was not long after that that this complaining and this business of the snake comes into this picture, into the story. Well, Mount Nebo is south a ways in the Palestine area. Going up north a ways, you found, I've got it backwards. It's Mount Nebo is the one up north, the one for Aaron is down south. Going up there is where Moses stood on the mountain, and he could look out all the way up Palestine, and he could see. When I had the chance to stand up on that mountain in 1999 And look, unfortunately, we had somewhat cloudy weather. And so because of the weather conditions, we couldn't see as far as Moses had been able to see. But out there at sort of the point of the mountain, they had put a cross with a brass snake on it in recognition of this story, of this account. And here Jesus used that story in his discussion with Nicodemus. And that fact that just as this brass snake had been lifted up out there in the desert, and the people, all they had to do to be protected from this effect of the snake was to look at the brass snake. That's all they had to do. That's all they could do to get that benefit. Friends, Jesus was giving the picture that just as that looking at that snake in the wilderness brought to protection, so the Son of Man, he says, must be lifted up. The snake was lifted up for them to look at. Jesus has been lifted up for us to look at, for us to recognize what he's done for us and what he wants us to do, what he wants us to accept. And so, as our scripture text and as our memory verse from when we were little tots, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And I like to include verse 17 because God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to tell us, you're wrong, you better come over here. That isn't his purpose, that isn't his goal. He came to show us and to allow us the freedom to choose to accept what he came to offer. I saw just this last week an interesting account. A fellow was out scuba diving. And he was going way down. There were some coral reefs of some kind that he was interested in inspecting and looking at. And so he was diving way down to get to that and having a great time. But he noticed as he was down there swimming around that coral reef that there was a whale that was coming down and swimming around him. Swimming down there right around with him, a couple of times even brushing against him. And he kept swimming down there. He had his oxygen tanks and stuff, and he could stay there a good while. And that whale stayed there and was going all around him. And finally, after a while, the whale swam off. Well, after the whale swam off, then he swam to the surface so that he could talk to his friends that were in the dive boat. And he said, man, this was wonderful. I was able to swim with that whale. And they said, you didn't see it all. They said there was a tiger shark swimming there. And a tiger shark is one of the meanest of the sharks. and that whale was there swimming all around there, keeping that tiger shark away from you. Because a tiger shark is not about to attack something that is several tons heavier than he is. And so this scuba diver was protected by the whale. God has a desire to protect us if we are willing to let Him. The Spirit of God, through faith, produces a new life in your soul. Let's sing hymn number 183, I Will Sing of Jesus' Love.